I need to tell you once again that anyone that knows me knows that I've got a rather strange addiction. I'm somewhat addicted to nature shows. I've got a thing about nature shows. I love nature shows, but here's the thing about me and nature shows. I rarely, if ever, go to watch a nature show on purpose. It's not like I plan my day around when a nature show is going to be on TV. I tend to watch nature shows as a result of channel surfing. I can't stand commercials. I'll be watching TV, commercial comes on, instantly I grab the remote. A moose.
Starts walking off into the forest, and the baby ducks do
what baby ducks do. They all get a line, and they're following the mom. And they go for a hike that goes for a mile. My daughter gave me a watch that keeps track of how many steps you take in a day and what distance you go. There are some days, I'm sad to admit, I don't walk a mile. These little baby ducks, one day old, hike a mile through the forest until they get to a pond. And once they get to the pond, they all jump in. They're splashing and swimming and having a great time. And that's the moment where I went, I'm a baby duck. And I got news for you this morning. You are a baby duck, which makes Jesus the mama duck. And don't take the analogy too far because it starts to break down eventually. But the truth is, Jesus stands at the bottom of your tree and mine and says, quackity quack. Jesus stands at the bottom of your life and mine and says, jump. There's this wonderful moment at the beginning of the Gospels. The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find the story of Jesus' life and ministry. At the very beginning, one of the Gospels, Jesus is walking alongside the Sea of Galilee, comes across two brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. All four of them are fishermen. He comes up to these four fishermen, and you've got to be really careful, pay attention to what Jesus does not say in this moment. Jesus did not come up to those four individuals and say, drop your nets, come believe in me. Now, don't get me wrong. It's awfully important for us to come to a place where we believe that Jesus is who Jesus said he was, and that he did what he said he did. It's important that we come to a place that we believe or confess that Jesus willingly went to the cross, where he took on all our stuff, all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our grief, all of our pain, all of our regret. He willingly took it all on himself, and he suffered and died. And when he died, he took all of that with him. But when 3 days later he rose from the dead, he overcame death, overcame all of our stuff, our sin, our grief, our shame, our pain. He overcame that so that when we believe, we are not only forgiven, but we're shown a new way to live because we've been given new life. It's important that we come to a place where we believe that, but Jesus in that moment did not say, drop your nets and come believe in me. The words Jesus said were, drop your nets, come, follow me. Quiet, quiet. Jesus essentially went up to these individuals and said, will you jump? Let me show you the pond. Let me show you what life is supposed to be about. Let me show you what it's about. In the 10th chapter of John, verse 10, Jesus says it this way. The thief comes to steal, to kill, destroy. I come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. I come to show you abundant life. I come to show you what life in the pond is. A life that is filled with hope and peace and purpose and love and joy and grace. I want to show you what a life filled with that looks like. But in the very beginning of that verse, it says the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Which takes us back to the tree. We go back to the tree. I've never been that amazed at the very first baby duck. Let's think about this. Jesus made the mama duck at the bottom of the tree and says, quackity quack. Baby duck doesn't know any better. Jumps. Bounces. It's always the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh duck that impressed me. Because after first duck jumps and flaps uselessly, mama duck says, quackity quack, jump. If I'm the second duck, I'm looking over and going, no. I'm sure you mean well, Mama Duck, but did you see what happened to Billy? He bounced like a tennis ball. No, I'm going to stay in the tree. This seems like a very good place. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I began to wonder what would happen if the baby ducks chose to remain in the tree. happen to those baby ducks? They would be safe. They would be comfortable. And if the mama duck continued to return to the tree, they would be well fed. But they never would have learned how to fly. They never would have experienced life in the pond. And ultimately, they would have died in their comfortable, safe, well-fed place. And what I've just described is the condition of most churches in North America. We have so overvalued safety, comfort, and feed me when Jesus is at the bottom of the tree saying, quacking, quack, jump, come, follow me. I'll show you what life is supposed to look like. Historian Philip Jenkins, in some of his work, noted that 100 years ago, 80% of Christians lived in Europe or the United States and Canada. 80% of Christians in the world, 100 years ago. U.S., Canada, Europe. Today, 100 years later, 70% of Christians live in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. And there's a myriad of reasons for that dramatic shift. And you can point out, well, you know, the missionary efforts of Christians to go out to those places, yes, have played a role, but we are oversimplifying if we think that that's the reason for the dramatic shift. One of the reasons there's been a dramatic shift and why Christianity is spreading in those places and decreasing here is we have become more about pursuing safety, comfort, and just feed me than we are about actually following Jesus. When my oldest daughter was 19 years old, not quite 20, sophomore year of college, and she went to go spend a semester living and studying in the capital city of Botswana. My daughter knew no one in the entire country of Botswana, had a really interesting transfer in Johannesburg, and wasn't even that sure how she was getting from the airport in Gaborone to the university. But I sent my 19-year-old daughter off to Southern Africa. She had an amazing time, landed herself in the hospital for a spell. She was very sick. I was sitting with a colleague who also had two daughters, and he looked at me and said this, Mike, I don't think I can send my daughters off like you did. To which I responded, this is the mistake we make as fathers. We think our primary job is to protect our children. It's not. Our primary job is to raise our children, ideally to be followers of Jesus, to be the kind of kids. We want them to be safe. Yes, what parent doesn't? But ultimately, that's not our role. Ultimately, our role is to raise kids, to be the kind of kids that hear the clackety clack of Jesus and jump. This is the fourth time I have preached this sermon at this church. My very first Sunday here, if you were here, I preached this sermon. On our first Jump Sunday, I preached this sermon. On the second Jump Sunday, I preached this sermon. And here it is, our third Jump Sunday, and I'm talking about baby ducks and quackity quack. Why? Because this church, although we definitely want to believe in Jesus, we cannot simply say we believe without following. We want to be a church that is committed to following Jesus. Not simply going, I believe, I'm going to stay in the tree, come feed me. Oh, we jump. And if anybody asks you, hey, well, what's your church all about? You can just look at them and go, quacky quack. And if they ask, well, wait, what is that about? You can preach this sermon because some of you have heard it four times. Repetition is important. Repetition is important. Repetition is important. Now, if they follow it up and go, well, what does following Jesus look like at Community Covenant Church? And I can answer that question in three words. Connecting, growing, serving. It's more than three words on really nice boards out in the fellowship hall. Connecting, growing, serving. The way that we choose to follow Jesus here is we are committed to connecting with God and connecting with one another. We are all about growing closer to God as we grow closer to one another. And we are going to serve God by serving the people around us. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to unpack all three of those words. And each one, yes, comes with a nature show because it's jump moment. This is how we do it. The question is, will you serve? jump. It's not a decision you make once in your life. It's a decision that you make daily, moment by moment. Am I going to trust Jesus when he says, come follow me? I'm going to show you how to do what you're doing even better. One of the ways that the church for 2,000 years has proclaimed our commitment to believing and following is right here. When we come to the table, we come together to proclaim what it is that we're about. On the night that Christ was betrayed, it was the night before he went to the cross. He's sitting with his best friends, and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup also. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is my promise that nothing needs to permanently separate you from the great love my Father has for you. And then the Apostle Paul would go on to say, whenever we eat the bread, whenever we drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I love that word, proclaim. It's not something you do silently, alone in a room somewhere. It's something you do publicly. You say, yes. In a moment, we're going to take communion together. And we're going to do it in a couple of different ways. There will be a station towards that wall over there that Justin's going to be at. And I'm going to be over at this wall. And those stations over there are designed for if you want to come as a family. We kept the families all together. And sometimes doing communion together is very meaningful, especially for kids that this might be a first for them. I remember doing it with this family here. Monday, Thursday, doing it together as a family. We'll also have two stations up at the front where you can come when you're ready. You don't have to be a member of our church. You don't even have to be a regular attender to take communion. All that we ask is that you believe it to be true and your desire is to follow. Which is why when you come to the table, someone will hold the plate and they'll say, the body of Christ was broken for you. And the language we use here is this. Our response, the verbal response, we say, I remember. We want to be intentional about what we're doing. We don't want to simply go through the motions. Man, I remember. This is what he did. And then the next person will have the cup and say, the blood of Christ was shed for you. And you'll take your piece of bread and you'll dip it in. And as you do, our language has been, I believe. But it seems very appropriate that this morning, the body of Christ shed for you, our language would be this. I believe. I will follow. I'm going to ask those that are serving if they'll come up. Mark, would you be willing to serve as well? Again, there's going to be music in the background and a little bit. We'll be singing. We don't dismiss by rows because we want this to be come when you're ready to come. Again, if you want to do it as a family, go off to the sides, a little more space over there. Well, let's take this time to be our moment where we come to the edge of the tree and we respond to the cry of Jesus. And we shout. I remember, I believe, I will.